Final segment of the night, final segment of the week, right here on that 590 show on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio, we are live at the Rosalita's Cantina, 1235 Washington Avenue, for their Cinco de Mayo Fiesta. If you're in the area, make sure you come on by. The Belmont Automotive phone line is still available at 855-282-8255. And you still have time to text in, 855-282-8255. Yes, sir.
I'm going to need Matt Berger to give me one reason, beyond the career of Muggsy Bogues,
okay,
as to why 5'9 Isaiah Thomas, who just scored 52 points on a backcourt that consists of John Wall, 6'4", and Brad Beal, 6'5", why, if he can do that against one of the biggest backcourts in the NBA, mm-hmm, why can a team not led by him win an NBA title?
Well, because if they could, there'd be more 5'9 people in the NBA.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think kids at that size, they get sized out in college. You don't go after them in college. And I think it's because teams don't give him a chance. Look at Isaiah Thomas. The guy put up huge numbers in college and still was the very last pick in the draft.
I'm not saying Isaiah Thomas is a horrible player. He's far from it. He's a fantastic player. But he's the best player on this Boston Celtics team, correct?
Yes, not by that much of a wide margin, but he's the best player.
Okay. I don't think anyone
talks about Al Horford. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, because Al Horford's almost always injured. I'm surprised he's not injured now. When he was with
the Hawks,
he was always injured. But yeah. I'm with you. I think Al Horford's a great player, too. The thing is that it's very difficult to win in a game of basketball when your best player is so much shorter than what the other team is.
Okay, I'll put it this way. If Carmelo Anthony was on the Celtics, would he be their best player?
Yes.
No, that's okay. First of all, that's incorrect.
Okay.
Isaiah Thomas is undoubtedly a better NBA player right now than Carmelo Anthony is.
I think the wins on his team. I am not a Carmelo Anthony fan at all, but I'm telling you right now, if you needed a bucket.
That's not my question. That was in no way, shape, or form my question. If I asked you who was the better scorer, I'd still think you're kind of crazy for answering Carmelo, but I won't go against Carmelo in that facet because Isaiah Thomas is an incredible scorer.
That's the one thing that Melo can do is score.
That's fair, but that's one thing Isaiah Thomas can do. But I think if Melo was on that team, Isaiah Thomas would still be the best player on that team, and I think people would argue that would make them a championship contender.
What you're seeing right now, this run that Isaiah Thomas is going on, is fantastic. It reminds me a little bit of that Nate Robinson run that they went on with the Chicago Bulls a few years ago. That's why I said Tom Thibodeau was such a fantastic NBA coach, because if you look at that Bulls team that had like Nate Robinson and Taj Gibson.
Again, you're comparing Nate Robinson to Isaiah Thomas.
Okay. You're like the president of the Isaiah Thomas fan club.
I'm not. I just don't like when we throw out completely facile arguments like you can't win if your best player is 5'9". We've had one example of a team's best player being 5'9" for a majority of the time. That's Muggsy Bogues.
Okay.
I know, and he didn't do crap because there was no one on Charlotte. Muggsy Bogues never played with talented players. So I'm just saying, Isaiah Thomas,
Matt Rocchio,
I think he can be the best player.
Why do you not see that many players that are 5'9 in the NBA?
Because I think, well, first of all, 25 years ago, the NBA was a league that was always about getting taller and bigger.
Sure.
You're now looking at an NBA that's progressively getting smaller every year.
Okay. So you think that Isaiah Thomas is going to be basically kind of like some kind of trailblazer where he's going to be the first of possibly many people who are going to be 5'9 in the NBA?
No, again, and I think this is an issue that comes down from the very beginnings of basketball. What AAU team, unless the kid literally still at short, can jump out of the ground? By the way, and I'm saying this with completely ignoring the fact that we saw another short guy come into the league this year and play very well. Tyler Ulis?
Yes.
Tyler Ulis of the Phoenix Suns. He came in. They didn't expect him to do a lot. He was low drafted, probably because of the fact that he is 5'10". But he came in. Now, again, it was late into the season, but playing 15 minutes a game, he was scoring 8 points a game. Again, it's a very slow start. My point is that when you see with a guy like Tyler Ulis, that if a guy who's short is still a top-level athlete, which is essentially at 5'9", 5'10", he can still dunk the ball, which Isaiah Thomas can do, I think those players can compete, because when you simply talk about the one thing that they could be held back with size, which is just shot contention, that's the one thing that's being held back with size is shot contention. you're seeing that these guys are athletes enough that they have a good enough vertical to the point where it's not affecting them as much as you might think, to the point where the difference between 5'10 and 6'1", that's another thing. No one knocks Pat Beverly for being 6'1". Are you going to really tell me there's that much of a difference between 6'1 and 5'11", 5'10"?
There is.
I just don't believe it because we're seeing 6'10" centers and 6'9" centers, and they're clearly showing that it doesn't matter if they're 6'9" going up against a 6'11" player. It doesn't matter if you play the game a certain way. Isaiah Thomas is one of the best finishers in the paint in the league.
Okay.
Clearly, his size doesn't matter.
Until he proves me otherwise, I'm going to keep saying that.
Darn you!
Until he proves me otherwise.
Until the Celtics get a third player, where the fact that he could have the team around him to compete with LeBron James and the Cavaliers.
What you're bringing up, the funny thing is that the way that the game of basketball is being played right now is not how it was intended to be played. The idea behind the game of basketball was to get as close to the basket as you can to score, not the other way around.
I thought the point of the game was to put the ball on the bottom of the hoop.
Well, that is, but the whole point was to do it as close as possible. That's the reason why
Is there a line in the wooden book on this?
Okay, but how was it played before? They said if you didn't have a big man, you didn't win.
True.
Now it's not the case. Now centers have been almost
So we're not playing football the way it was meant to be played?
No, I'm not saying
the forward
that.
Pass?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, never mind then. I just think you're right. I think you're right in that it couldn't have worked maybe even 10 years ago. But league's getting smaller every year. I think you are going to see it if a guy like Tyler Ulis is able to generate a little bit more. You saw it with Nate Robinson. I just think Nate Robinson wasn't nearly the basketball player or nearly the talent that Isaiah Thomas is. That's why I think that bringing up Nate Robinson on that Bulls run is ridiculous, because I think clearly you look at the numbers, the way that Isaiah Thomas has been able to
Nate
score
Robinson
the ball,
was the best
he's nowhere
player on
there.
That, Nate Robinson was – I'm not – okay. I'm just saying that Nate Robinson was the best player on that Bulls team, and they made it further than I thought they were going to. And that was a tribute to Tom Thibodeau and what a great coach he was, because I remember when they were playing against the Heat, I always – whenever a team that I follow is in the playoffs, I like listening to the opposing team's home sports stations so I can hear what they're saying about my team. And I remember hearing a promo that they were running – on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, how it was team Heat against Team Heart, and that was the Heat against the Bulls. I just found that phrasing kind of funny. Last night we talked a little bit about LeVar Ball, and the unveiling of his sneaker, which was talked about yesterday. I'm sure all afternoon on ESPN, and then pretty much all day today. I heard Darren Rovell say today that all the talking on TV, on the radio, and in social media, just basically the free advertising, it was like $55 million of free advertising. And I'm not going to get political on this. I'm just using this as an example. But that's kind of a lot like how Donald Trump got elected president. He didn't spend a lot on advertising. What he would do is he would just hold a press conference, and every single time he held a press conference, all the news organizations would be airing that press conference or talking about that press conference, and there was all of his free advertising. So I guess you could say, in regards to that, LeVar Ball is a little bit of a marketing genius, because he got all that free advertising, but let's just see what happens when it comes to actually selling those shoes and how many of those people are actually going to buy them.
I don't know why you would spend that kind of money on shoes. And
I wouldn't either.
Let me reframe that. I don't know why you would spend that much money on those shoes when you could buy 2 to 3 pairs of very high-quality Jordans.
Absolutely.
I love my I have one pair of Jordans. I wish I had more pair of Jordans. I wish I was more of a sneakerhead because they're awesome.
I've never owned a pair of Air Jordans.
I have the Jordan CP3s. They're very nice. And more than that, I would take 4 of those pairs of shoes, and that's what it was. They were like $125 shoes. I could buy 4 of those pairs for what LeVar Ball is selling as one. And again, as I believe Matty Whitener, who's much more of a sneakerhead than I am, backed up early on the hard line, essentially they're rocking like 97 Kobe N1s.
Yeah.
It's essentially spray-painted Kobe N1s. Not like new age Kobes, like 90s, like late 90s. Like number 8, like Kobe was wearing number 8 when he put out those shoes, and that's when you just redid. There's not a basketball fan right now who can remember Kobe wearing number 8.
And right now, if you buy those shoes, it's not like you buy those shoes and you're going to get them in a few days.
Christmas.
You buy those shoes, you're not going to get them until the fall.
Yeah, it's your Christmas present.
So there's a good possibility. I haven't gone on the website, so I don't know for sure. I don't know if there's any kind of refund.
No, there's no refund.
There's no refund. So there's
that
a,
was
exp-
and the scary
so
part is.
So there's a very good possibility you're going to drop $500 on these shoes, and you may be one of only a handful of people that actually do. They don't get produced, and you're out $500.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that the no refunds thing was it was oddly accentuated on the media around it. Not on the site, they didn't like point out really loud that it was no refunds, but every piece I saw on it, everybody who was mentioning it, every single one of them mentioned no refunds. And I think that's telling.
I think it is too.
But also, at the same time, this is a guy who's putting out, if you go to his website, he's got like $80 shirts. And I'm sorry, but these aren't like nice dress shirts. These are $80 t-shirts, $80 graphic t-shirts. Like the ones you'd kick yourself if you paid $11 for at the Under Armour store. And he's charging like $60 for them. The guy's crazy. There's no doubt about it in my mind. He's pathological.
Do you think that he's putting a lot of undue pressure on his kid, too? Because all of this will come to an end if Lonzo Ball is not very good in the NBA.
I feel less sorry for Lonzo Ball than I do LaMelo and LiAngelo. Because LaMelo and LiAngelo do not have the talent that Lonzo Ball has.
Okay,
I don't mean that to. I don't mean that to insult LaMelo and LiAngelo.
They're talented athletes. Even more pressure on Lonzo Ball then,
no,
because it's all on him.
Well, in a point, but also he's talented. He's going to get his money. If you know the way the NBA goes, as long as he does not wash out through his first 4 years, if he's a solid bench player, if you are a bench player now and you can score 10 points a game, you will get a borderline max contract. From a crappy team, but you will get a borderline max contract.
Do you think LeVar Ball's going to be happy with that, though? Because
it's called a max contract. You can't get much more, Matt.
Okay, but him being a bench player, though, all that doesn't do anything for the brand. LeVar Ball wants the brand. He's concerned about big ball or brand.
But that's why
There's not going to be a big ball or brand of LeVar Ball Lonzo Ball, rather, is coming
off
the bench.
I'm not worried about Lonzo because he will get his money one way or another, and he will be able to separate himself.
Okay, but that's not the point.
I'm saying even if he's not a great player, he can separate himself from his dad. But if Lonzo's not a great player, let's say Lonzo is only a bench player, now the burden on LaMelo and LiAngelo to carry that while they're at UCLA, not only that, if Lonzo has a tough rookie year, I believe LaMelo is the younger one. LiAngelo is the one who's going to UCLA, probably the lowest of the three rank-wise. So LiAngelo probably won't get as much on him because he's going to UCLA this year and he won't be as good of a player. But if let's say we're 2 or 3 years into Lonzo's contract in the NBA, and now this is when LaMelo hits UCLA, and let's say Lonzo's struggling, now when LaMelo hits UCLA, he's going to have a huge burden to go one and done, to be one and done as a lottery pick, because Lonzo's struggling and now the brand needs LaMelo to pick it back up. So I actually feel a lot more for the younger brothers, because Lonzo is going to be a top three pick.
I understand your point, but if Lonzo Ball is a complete and total bust, then I think it's going to completely destroy the entire big baller brand.
But I don't feel bad for Lonzo about that, though. That's LeVar's issue. Lonzo will have his money, and he will be able to separate himself if he wants to. His brothers won't.
It could be a very big day for Mizzou basketball tomorrow, as Kevin Knox is saying that he is going to announce on May 6th via Twitter where he is going to be playing his college basketball. He tweeted something out, and he had Mizzou in the number of schools that he said that he may attend. So I don't think it's going to happen, but if it does, wow.
Gabe DeArmond pretty much said he's saying he's picking between five, but he's picking between two, and their names are Duke and North Carolina.
Imagine that.
Shocker.
Imagine that.
But hey, Cassius Robinson, that's a good pickup. You need a shooter.
Absolutely. No, I think the Mizzou basketball team next year is going to be markably better.
Oh, God, that's an understatement.
Yeah, it's going to be markably better. For the final time this evening, let's head to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk.
Raptors are keeping this one close between them and the Cavaliers, while the Cavaliers have eked out to a little bit of a lead here. 2:13 left in the third, 71-70, the Cavaliers with that one-point lead. The Spurs and the Rockets will get underway a little bit later. Again, Dejounte Murray, the rookie out of Washington, will be starting in the place of Tony Parker in that game. Some other news from around the sporting world. No ban for Chris Sale, says sources tell ESPN, for his throw behind Manny Machado. And in seemingly inexplicable fashion, Jay Paterno has been named a member of the Board of Trustees of Penn State University. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. We are at Rosalita's Cantina, 1235 Washington Avenue. Rocchio and I are going to pack up all this gear, then we're going to go out and have a good time. It is packed down here. Lots of senoritas, lots of seniors as well for you ladies who may be listening. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back at it Monday afternoon, 6 o'clock. Brothers on Whatever is up next right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSCL.com. Have a great night. I know I got the flow, 'cause I know it from the start.